Good morning, and my name is Lynn Stevens, and this is our word for today. It comes from John 17, 20 through 25. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, I am in you. May they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory that you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do, and these disciples know that you sent me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
My thoughts and prayers are with you. I've been praying for you through this journey. I'm praying for your family. I am praying for your healing on your life. I am praying that we can be caring for you. Yeah, praying is an important part of being a follower of Jesus. Amen? My name's Keith Arcombe, and I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor, and we're at the end of our series on how I love you. Specifically, how do I love God? What can we do that shows God that we love him? In week one, we talked about how we are to seek justice, to love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. That's the starting point, and we need to pray to do that, right? And then week two, Pastor Kathy talked about how that we can care for one another, and we commissioned our care team through our prayer and care, we're able to show God that we love him. And then last week, we realized that actually our very presence in somebody's life and through our prayers for the person, through just sitting there sometimes and saying nothing, that this also shows how much we love God. Amen? So through all of these three topics, through our love, remember we're talking about the emojis, through our love, through our care for one another, through our healing of one another, and through our prayers, we can love God. We can love God through these very actions, four easy steps. What is prayer? Why should we do it? What is the purpose of prayer in our lives? Why does the Christian need to pray? Why does the person who followed Jesus need to pray? Well, praying is talking to God. Prayer is conversing with the very Savior that we are pursuing, that we are following. Prayer is sometimes a scream or a beg at God, amen? Like, what? Why is this happening? And of course, we've got some world issues that we need to be begging God for now, which are addressed in our prayers early on. But this is more than just, oh, my thoughts and prayers are with you. This is more than just, say one for me, will you? A friend of mine, Tony, he and I became friends because we both like to ride bikes. And we go riding bikes in Wales together when I was growing up in England. And he and I were completely different. He was introverted, I was not, and he was like, someone who listened a lot more than he spoke. I was not. But he was the kind of guy that was just so kind and gentle around. He replicated some of the presence of God's love to me. He showed me who God was through the way he was. He personified some of Jesus. He showed us whom God was. He showed me whom Jesus was. And he participated in prayer. He was a deep Roman Catholic, and he spent a lot of time saying his prayers and saying his rosary. And he believed in the prayer that he was doing. But he's kind of an introverted, quiet guy, you know? And in England, and I think it's a saying here too, you know, if someone's going to pray or they're going to worship, maybe somebody said it to you this morning, and that you're going to worship or you're going to the place where God is worshiped, someone might say to you, say one for me, will you? It means like, you know, mention me fondly in prayers. Lift me up to the great man in the sky, won't you? And we got to visit a lot when we were hanging out together. We got to visit different churches and different environments. And he was in this one particular church, in this Roman Catholic church. It was a beautiful church. He was walking around looking at the different things that were around the sanctuary and the kneelers. And as he was walking around, maybe he said some prayers. As he was walking around, in walks the priest. He had a collar on, you know, in black. He had a collar on. He says to the priest, talks to the priest for a little bit, talks to him, and he says, the priest says, oh, I'm off. I'm going off for prayer now. And Tony says, say one for me. And the priest says, sure, sit down next to me right here, and I will pray for you. Later on, he's telling me the story, and he says to me, when I said pray for me, I just mentioned me formally in prayers, not sit with me and pray half an hour with your hands on over me. Where did Tony get this prayer life? Where did Tony get the idea to replicate God's love? Where did Tony get the idea to imitate whom Jesus was to us? Where did Tony get the idea to participate in prayer through participating with the Holy Spirit working in and through him? Well, I believe he got it from the Bible. Specifically in the scripture that was read to you today in John chapter 17. That's where we're going to go today. John 17 is our scripture. It's the only place that we have in the Gospels where we have this long prayer where Jesus prayed for us. Where Jesus prayed. And we're going to get into the part that was read for you this morning. But before we get there, hopefully you're following along. You might see something different. You've got it open on your phone there. John chapter 17 is in the fourth gospel. And in the first part of the gospel, Jesus says to God the Father in his prayers. This is before he gets to the garden, before he is arrested, before he even gets to the garden. He is praying to his Father, the same Father you and I pray to. So he's kneeling before the Father. So this is kind of not one of those say one for me later prayers. This is not a thoughts and prayer prayer. This is a sit down, kneeling down, sweat, blood, and tears kind of prayer. And he says to God the Father, I've done everything you've asked me. I have glorified you. In fact, he doesn't even mention the cross in his prayers. He says, I've glorified you, and we're about to consummate that glory. The glory is going to be that even though I'm going to die on the death machine of the day, even though I'm going to die on this thing, it's going to be transformed into something of your glory. Amen? He says, I've done that. I've showed everybody your glory. I've displayed that in my work here on the earth. That's the first thing he says. Your glory equals the cross, and the cross equals the glory. Death is defeated. I've done that here. And he says, the second thing he says to God the Father, he says, I've communicated this glory. I've communicated the message that I've been here on earth for. I've communicated it to the people whom you sent me, the disciples. And the 11 disciples have got it. They understand what it means. They understand your glory. And we know this because it says, if you go back just a little bit in chapter 16, we know this because he says, at last you are, this is the disciples talking to Jesus, at last you're speaking plainly, now we understand that you know everything and there's no need to question you. From this, we believe that you came from God. And Jesus asks them once more. He says to them, do you finally believe? So he knows in his own spirit, he knows that the disciples have finally got it. And he says to God, I've done it. He says to the Father, I've done it all. I've communicated your glory. I've passed it on to the disciples. Now, I want you to protect them. Protect them from the evil one who comes in all sorts of guises and disguises. He says to them, I protect them from the evil one. Keep them safe. So this is, just think about this. This is Jesus, who was there in the beginning, the absolute one-in-one with the God the Father, kneeling, praying before his Father, asking that he would protect the disciples. Amazing. Mind-blowing that Jesus would be asking that, knowing what the disciples are going into. So that's the two big things. He says, I've given you glory. I've given you glory. And then the other thing he says, protect the disciples, that they know this, now that they know this. And the third thing he says is what we're going to get into today. Verse 20, I'm going to read a couple of verses for you. I am praying, so he's still praying. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one. Just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may there be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me so they may be one as we are one. There's lots of ones in there. It's kind of a difficult text to read in English. I'm sure it was beautiful when Jesus said it. But by the time we got it, it's like, what are we doing here? He says, I am praying, not just for the disciples, the ones he's just asked for protection for, but who is he praying for? Those who don't believe yet. Us, yes. Us. Those who don't believe yet. In fact, I am praying that those who don't believe, I pray that there will be one. I pray that you and I, just like you and I are, Father, Son, of course, Jesus was there in the beginning, always was, always has been, always will be. And now he is on earth, begging that same oneness that the Father and Son have will also be in those who believe. He says, I am in you, Father, and you are in me. May they be in us, so that the world will what? Believe you sent me. So literally, Jesus is praying that the words that his disciples have heard, the word that they have embodied in their own life, which the Holy Spirit will also comfort them with, he is praying that that message will eventually get to us and we'll believe, amen? He says, I want that message to perpetuate. And bizarrely, 2022 years later, we have this message through the apostles, through people like Tony, through people whom you know who have also replicated God's love, who have also imitated Jesus and his presence in you, and have also participated in praying for you. How many of you here are here, or that you follow Jesus because there was somebody else who replicated, who imitated, who participated in praying for you? Raise your hand. Yeah, most of us. Most of us. I bet if I went around each of you, you could tell me. You could tell me a moment when your Tony had a decent story. When there was a moment where you understood that actually God does love you. Actually, Jesus did die for you, and you too can participate in the Holy Spirit and pray for that person too. He says, I am praying. Jesus says, I am praying that this message that is in my disciples may also convince those who are not convinced yet of how much God the Father loves me. How much I love you, says Jesus. Verse 25 says, I am in them. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given to me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience this oneness, this unity that you and I both have. Now, this oneness, this unity is way more than just having the same thoughts and looking the same. This is way more than liking the same worship music. This is way more than liking the same denomination or political affiliation. This is a oneness that the Father and the Son had. And when we know this, we know unity, amen? This is more than denominational conflicts. This is more than even statewide. This is more than boundaries, political boundaries that separate us across the world. I bet now we could walk into a church and pray in Ukraine and pray with those people and they would be more than comforted that we have the same oneness, that we talk to the same Father, that we talk to the same Son, and the Holy Spirit would use that to comfort them and use that to heal them. Amen? Gosh, we got to pray. We got to pray that people would know this unity. And this is way more than just kneeling occasionally, way more than just coming to church on a Sunday, way more than just saying, I'll pray for you. I started doing something a little different. Some people ask me to pray for them, you know, and yeah, sure. I started in the morning, like, texting people that I'm praying for so they know specifically that I'm actually praying for them at that particular moment. Start something different. When someone asks you to pray for them, stop them right there and pray for them. Not for half an hour like Tony Preston's vicar, you know, but, you know, just pray for them. Pray for people that ask you to pray for them. That's a powerful witness. Not just for healing, just that they know that you are there for them. They know that you care. And what for most of all is that it would be in unity, says Jesus, that you sent me, that you love them as much as you love me. Then they can see all the glory that you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. How is it that you are praying for someone? How is it that you are replicating the love of God? What is it that you replicate in your life? If somebody looks at you, what is it that you look like? What is it that you imitate the most? What actions do you do that imitate? Do they reflect what Jesus has done for us? What is it that you participate in all the time? Who are you around that you participate with? Do you participate in groups that pray? Do you participate in online structures that do good, that pray for one another? There's a lot of online structures that are not doing that. What is it that you replicate? What is it that you imitate? What is it that you participate in? Verse 25, Jesus says, O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. The world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. He goes on to say, I'm not going to display this, I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. Righteous Father, the world doesn't know you. But we do, amen? We know the righteous Father. We know what the Father has done in us. We know that actually there are a lot of people in our life that we'd like to be with us today, amen? We'd love them to be sitting next to us right here and knowing this same righteous Father that Jesus does. How do we get them to also participate in what we are participating in? How do we show people this love of the Father that Jesus spoke about? How do we imitate Jesus and his teaching in our lives? What is it that we can do to help them understand that we know the righteous Father like Jesus did? So that the reason that we do this, the reason we pray, so that these non-believers, the people that don't believe, the people that haven't tasted yet, haven't seen what's good, that they will know that God sent Jesus. That's the purpose. So there are some things we can do to love God. We can be merciful. We can seek justice. We can walk humbly with our God. And we pray about doing that. We can care for one another. Those of us who have been cared for can care for others. And we pray about that. We can heal people. We can assist doctors, nurses, medical professionals through our prayer, as the clinical trials have shown us. Prayer works. And we can also pray for others. This is more than just, I'll say one for you later. This is more than just saying, oh, thoughts and prayers are with you. This is more than just saying, ah, yeah, no problem, I'll mention you. This is like really praying for someone. This is like being concerned about. This is about when you're driving down the road and you see their place of work or a place of work that reminds you, like, oh, gotta pray for Linda. Or when you hear someone mention that person's name, you pray for them and you think of them, and it jolts your soul into thinking, oh, I gotta pray for her. You see a hospital and you know your friend's in there, you know that somebody's sick. At night before you go to sleep, you pray for those who are hurting and sick, and that they need healing. I'm sure you could reel off a whole bunch of people that you know that you want them to be healed. And you pray and you ask God, and you kneel before him and you say, oh Lord, I'm praying for this person. So today, the message is pretty simple. Pray. Pray. Pray for how many people? One person. Pray for one person that comes into your head right now. Pray for a person that you want to care for. You want to see them healed. You want to see them in a wonderful, wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, so much so that that relationship starts encouraging your relationship. And you're like, whoa, I gotta step on my game. But before you pray, I want you to do three things. I want you to remember the three letters R-I-P. Yeah, sometimes you use them for something else, but I want you to remember these three words. These three letters we use a lot. The first R, the first letter R, is for replicate. And I want you to think about what you are replicating in your life. Only you know what you're replicating in your life. Now, my prayer for you is that you are replicating the love of God, amen? That you can see that coming through your life, that you can see that impacting everything that you do. My hope, my prayer is that you replicate. So R is for Good, good, good. I is for imitate. So imitate the teachings of Jesus. Now, if you don't know the teachings of Jesus, they are listed in here. We've got them at least in the four Gospels right here. You might want to pick this up and read the Gospels. You don't have to read a chapter a day, but read a chunk. Read something and then imitate that in your life. Imitate that in your interactions with people. Show people the love of Jesus. We don't need to tell them what's wrong with their life. They already know that. Imitate Jesus and his teaching. So replicate and imitate. And then the final one, the P, is participate. And I might add, passionately participate. Passionately participate in praying for people. Passionately participate in seeking the Holy Spirit's direction in your life. Passionately participate in thinking, oh, how can I pray for this person? What will be a blessing for this person's life? And when you have these things in your life, pray. Pray for the person. Right now, there's somebody on your heart right now, somebody in your head, maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's someone you've been praying for 20, 30, 40 years. And you've been praying for them. And I want you to continue to pray for them. But think about how you are replicating the love of God in your life. Think about how you are imitating, like a Tony Preston guy who imitated God, Jesus and his love to me. Think about how you are participating in prayer with the Holy Spirit. And as Jesus prayed for us, that the message of the apostles that he shared his glory with, and we, through the apostles and through those who told some people, and they told some other people, and then finally it gets to people like Tony, and they tell us. May you also pray that the revelation of God may be revealed to you for one person. For when we pray for one person, when we replicate and imitate and participate the love of God, people decide to follow Jesus. Amen. And so today, I want you to pray. I want you to pray for that person whom you would love to be a follower of Jesus, whom you'd love for them to believe. It might not look like you expect. So the kneelers are open. We're gonna sing together. It's a common hymn. We're going to sing together. We're going to have people out here to help you with singing that hymn. But I want you to pray. We're not going to pray for you. I want you to pray to your Heavenly Father, just like Jesus did. And ask that your replication and imitation, participation might flow through you. And that person will follow Jesus. Amen. The altar's open. The kneelers are open. If you want to stay in your seat, in your own private, personal place of prayer, you can do that too. But pray. Pray that others might know Jesus. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son kneeling before you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, that you prayed for us. Thank you, Lord, that you still want others to come to know you. And we pray, Lord God, that we would replicate and imitate, participate in your Holy Spirit who has sent to us to invigorate this in our lives. Pray you will do that through the power of your Son. We ask this in his precious name. And everybody said,